This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to another episode of The Last Storm, the only Oklahoma City Thunder podcast that never takes a day off. My name is Mark, and I'm here with Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited about this day. I'm excited about talking about the young athlete we're going to be talking about today for sure.
Absolutely, man. I've been wanting to talk about Scotty Barnes for a while now. Definitely a great athlete, a really talented player, someone that, I was excited about watching the film, and as I watched the film, I got more and more excited about him as a player. So I'm pumped up about talking about that. And Dave, you actually have a three-team deal in the works today.
Yeah, man. I'm still trying to really work it out because there's a lot of moving pieces about the possibility. I'm taking an idea that we had used earlier, and I'm infusing it with a couple little flings and a couple little flares. I'm also, there's other people after I made this decision last night to do, other people that have just recently posted about Kemba Walker being unhappy. I want to make this clear. Kemba Walker, if there's an option between Kemba being traded to Boston or Kemba being traded to Dallas or Kemba being traded to Oklahoma City, there is a more of a chance that they could get more in return for Kemba going to Dallas than him coming to Oklahoma City with a Chris Porzingis trade there. I have no idea what's going to go on, what's going to happen, but the reality is that Kemba's unhappy and Boston front office is definitely looking for an out. Now, Brad Stevens is, the person that is in charge there. He's going to be making the calls this offseason, and he knows the most important person, asset to this entire thing is Al Horford. He needs a leader in that locker room. So we're going to break down exactly how Boston and this other mystery team fits in here and how we can make this work without us taking back $36 million in salary.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely excited about hearing about that. In the end, Al Horford in Boston makes a lot of sense, and the idea of bringing another team in to facilitate that trade, I'm excited about hearing about, what you have there. Let's talk a little about Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes played at Florida State last year. He's 6'9", has a 7'2" wingspan, and man, he plays an amazing game. He defensively, with that long reach, he has a low center of gravity, which because he gets down and bends his knees and he really, really moves his feet. So he really creates havoc on the perimeter on defense. In a lot of ways, he reminds me of what you might expect if you put Andre Iguodala into college, like a few years ago when he was really good, right? Like he defends at an elite level. So I have a lot of confidence in his ability to do that in the NBA. He plays like a point guard a lot of times, and he can really shoot the three. And most drafts, I think he would be a top five draft pick. Last year, I think he would have probably been the number one draft pick. This year, they have him, the draft mock draft that I look at, they have him right around number 11. Dave, what do you hear about Scotty Barnes?
Well, there's a lot of rumors exactly where he fits in this draft. I see a lot of places that say that he is a top seven draft pick. And then I see draft boards that have him listed at like 12, 14, and 16. Like this is, a lot of people don't know what to think about him. To me, I feel like this is a no-brainer. He is an athletic guy at 6'9" with a 7'2" wingspan that is unbelievable. He plays the position on defense 1-4. He did this in college. He played against point guards. Whoever the best player was, I felt like he was matched up against him most of the time. And the only time this didn't happen was with the big men. I had the biggest question on my thing was, can he be taught to guard the big man? Because of we're going to need somebody that can come in, play power forward and center on defense, helping Roby out, helping our other players out there. It is a very big thing for us to be able to plug somebody in there. And if you can't play the center position right now, and there's no hope for you to do that. I don't know where you fit in our team, but I think Scotty Barnes has that ability to do that. He could learn how to play defense on the five man, meaning that he could play the defense defensive position 1 through 5 in the NBA. I think this is a no-brainer right here. If he falls to us, or if we fall back in the draft and he's available, this is the type of young man that I feel like would fit perfect in our team. And the number one reason why he's so good is that I think he is the smartest defender in the league. His IQ on defense is truly spectacular. If you look at the way he is able to switch on defense, the way that he is able to continuously guard on the vertical leaps, on the lateral movements, he has a elite athletic ability in this draft. And like Mark said, if it was last year he was coming out, he probably would have been number one, if not number two in the draft. That is how good he is. To me, I feel like this is somebody that we could utilize right away because of his defensive ability. There is no doubt in my mind that the way that he is able to use his jumping and his ability to get above the rim will be a massive asset to any team that has a guard that knows how to lob the ball up high. He is elite. I love the way he's able to play defense, offense. It doesn't matter. He hits shots. His defensive impact is out of this world, and that's why I keep coming back to it, because this is the type of player that will make the defensive all-team a lot in his NBA career.
Yeah, as far as the players that we've evaluated up to this point, he's the first player that I've seen that I say I really believe he's going to be an all-star. He has all of the tools. And look, I'm not an expert, and nobody is paying me to make basketball decisions, so I understand I could be totally wrong about this, but the dude plays at a really, really high level, and I think in a different generation of players, then he would have definitely been looked at as a number one pick. But at this point, the question marks really come down to his shot. I mean, I saw enough where I really believe his shot will be just fine in the NBA. So even if Scotty Barnes doesn't develop a three-point shot any better than what he showed in college, he is still a better shooter than Ben Simmons. So I think his ability to stretch the court really will come with time. But here's the thing. He's 19 years old right now, and he turns 20 basically August 1st, I guess. Not basically, but it is August 1st. So let's look at this. I mean, he's going to be 20 his whole rookie season. So that's a big question mark right there. But on the other hand, with that wingspan and his listed height of 6'9", one thing I'd say is if he develops a legit three-point shot, his ceiling could be someone like Kevin Durant. And now he is a year older, I believe, than Kevin Durant was his rookie year. So that will kind of impact the decision that our front office makes, I believe, as far as like, would you take that player with the number one pick or the number two pick? I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that in this draft, but I'll tell you right now, if his three-point shot develops, he's going to be an unstoppable scorer in the NBA. He drives to the basket with confidence. He really, really does. And his shot has really good fundamentals. Lacks a little bit of consistency. His feet, his stance is just a little bit wide. So I think those are kind of things that you get to the NBA. They give you a lot of coaching. You improve your form. You improve your consistency. We've seen it happen time and time again. And honestly, shooting a lot of threes would have been silly for him to do in college. It just, he was so much more powerful and physically gifted than the players he was playing against. Not driving to the basket just wouldn't have made sense. But when he did take the time to shoot threes, he showed really good fundamentals. I think the fact that he didn't settle for a lot of them was a positive thing, not a negative. And that will come with time. I love Scotty Barnes. I think his game is outstanding. And like I said, I mean, I don't throw around like a comparison to KD very lightly, but the dude has a lot of scoring ability. But there's a lot of questions about whether or not he can score. And I think that really comes down to the questions about his three-point shot, not whether or not he's a scorer, because this guy is a scorer.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's one of those guys that I feel like is NBA ready to play defense right now. He can score at a very high level, but this shot that he has is going to need to take time to develop more into the NBA shot, prototypical shot of what the Thunder players like. We don't like to have guys that take a really long time taking shots. We don't have a lot of guys that are set. You look at Mike Muscala's shot and the way that he has to be set and have time on it. Yes, he can shoot from range and all these other things, but what we like to have guys is be able to shoot quickly. He doesn't fit that profile exactly right now, but with the Thunder way that we develop players, the way that we just spend a really good time making sure that they understand what their job is going to be in the NBA, and then we give them time to develop their shots. This is what we need to see this team do. This is the type of player that would be ready to come into the NBA and play right away for this team, but he needs time for development as far as offense goes, and I think the G League would be huge for him in that aspect because it would teach him how to catch the ball, shoot it quickly. That's what we need in the NBA right now.
Yeah, and you look at the way that we've really been pushing players like Roby and Baisley, who are like 6'8", 6'9" range, to rebound and push the ball up the court. He'd fit right in with that. This guy legitimately can play point guard, and you say he's 6'9", and then you have him running out there with Baisley and Roby at 6'8", 6'9". I mean, we could run out. Our shortest starter would be SGA at 6'7". We could also come back and, you know, do different combinations of like Teo and Ty to create different versatile looks. But when you have someone like that's at 6'9" and can play defense on point guards through the five and can handle the ball and also play off the ball, I mean, I don't know what else you want. This is the type of guy that, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen a player that I like more. I would love it if there was a possibility that he could fall to something like 7, 8, 9, and we were on top of that and we could trade back and pick up another player like maybe Josh Giddey that we like too, get two picks for him. I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities, but Scottie Barnes is very, very high on my list. I'm looking forward to doing a mock draft with you, Dave. That'll be a lot of fun. But Scottie Barnes, man, I'll just give it away right now. I'm at this point, right behind probably Cade, I'm going to say Scottie Barnes is the guy. We've got more to look at, though.
Yeah, and the reason we'll end up doing this mock draft is simply because we feel like there's certain players that are higher on our NBA list than they are the experts. And we just want to see what happens in the first year of the NBA, the second year, because we think that there's a really good possibility that there's really high great things that we see. We see a lot of positivity, like Mark already mentioned, and Josh Giddey. These are the type of guys that I feel like a lot of NBA teams are being hush-hush about and that could easily jump up to that number six spot without even blinking. So there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen and what's going to go down. But right now, I feel like 1 through 5 is really in cement. The number one pick, I feel like, is an obvious what's going on. But 2 through 5 is the big question mark. There's a lot of names that we're going to be dropping that we haven't dropped yet. Three in particular that we're going to talk about, because the reality is any of those three could be available to us at any time. And we need to be able to make sure that we break them down and let everybody know what the possibilities are.
I'll just be clear. I would take him in front of probably Jalen Green, although that's tough. I think Jalen Green is, you know, one of the most talented, you know, college players I've seen in a very long time. But I also think that you have to consider him being in front of potentially Jalen Johnson. Keon Johnson, I think you got to put him in front of him too. Now, I know that a lot of people won't agree with me here, but I think there's a really good chance you got to put him in front of Jonathan Kuminga also. And now, like you said, this top five really seems like the experts have already decided who they think are the most talented players. So there's really not going to be a lot that either of us can do to change anybody's minds. But I'll tell you this right now. This guy has Andre Iguodala, defensive skills, and he handles the ball and drives like Ben Simmons. And he's shown flashes of being able to shoot the ball too, but that's his biggest question. But with all those things, I don't know how, like, in a different generation of basketball, this guy wouldn't be looked at as a sure thing Hall of Famer. It's just a lot of questions about his shot in the modern day NBA.
This is the thing that I want to throw out there about Scottie Barnes, and this is the legitimate place that I see him dropping, is wherever Golden State has a pick, if that is with Minnesota's at 6, because that's where it falls, or at 7, or at 5, or wherever. I know that they get top 3 protected with Minnesota, but the reality is that if this pick falls for Golden State, he is not going to fall past Golden State. He is that prototypical type Golden State player where they want to get him out there. They want to get him to see what he can do. This Golden State team is built very differently in the aspect they have their veterans, and now they have this young team that's starting to come through. It's going to be interesting to see if they can make this work, but the reality is Scottie Barnes is perfect for Golden State.
Yep, absolutely, man. So let's talk about this mystery team that you would include in the three-team deal between the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Boston Celtics, and...
Yeah, man, the New York Knicks. Here's the thing about this, man. I've debated at least 6 different teams instead of the New York Knicks, but the thing I keep coming back to over and over and over again is this $80 million cap room next year. That's with RJ Barrett still have 2 years. Julius Randle still has a year on his contract after this season. Kevin Knox still has a year. Obviously, Obi was just drafted. And this team is set up for having a spot like this for Kemba Walker. Now, what would that look like for the Oklahoma City Thunder? What would we get in return? What would we see as a payout here? So let's just move Al Horford over to Boston Celtics, and the Celtics move Kemba Walker over to the New York Knicks. Now, the Knicks now only have $44.5 million in cap room. If they are still going out for another $40 million player or $45 million player, depending on what the cap room is, they're going to have to get off Kevin Knox off of that books. So they'll probably package a deal like with coming back to us with Kevin Knox, a first round pick from Dallas this year, and a second round pick. That is the type of thing that we could receive for trading Al Horford. Now, this doesn't typically go with what Coach or Sam Presti has been doing with trades. He always seems to get a veteran in return. But this is the moment that I feel like Sam would start letting people know that this is the turning point of him trading for draft picks and him trading for old guys to mentor the team, because he has his mentors already there. There's 26-year-olds that are set up right now to mentor this team into the future. So he would be making this idea of taking $27 million off the books, handing it over to Boston, which would allow Boston to all of a sudden have $9 million that is available to them. Now, there is always that possibility that the Boston Celtics could make a decision to move on from Tristan Thompson and make that part of the deal where we have to take back Tristan Thompson. And that means that they would end up having around $18 million in room. And the New York Knicks would have $45 to $50 million in room as well. So this benefits not only them, the Boston Celtics, but it also benefits the New York Knicks. We would get a young asset in Kevin Knox and give him a 1 year to see what we could do with him. And then we would get a draft pick that's in the teens, early 20s with Dallas that we could actually package and move up in the draft with, as well as the second round pick. So there's so many possibilities that are just here and looking at it. And I'm pretty excited about just being able to start breaking down three-team deals, because that's what's going to probably end up happening, is there's going to need to be another team involved, because there's going to be displacement of money, draft picks, and young talent. We need to make sure we can capitalize and get as many Kenny Hustles, as many ties as we possibly can from the other teams that we're dealing with.
Yeah, man, I really like that idea. I think the idea of getting Kemba to the Knicks would be a great idea. They're in a spot where they could use a player like him, I think, and he could use a different situation. I think getting Kemba to New York could be a really good situation for him, and obviously they could use a player like him the Celtics are trying to figure out a way to win a championship, which the Knicks are more trying to figure out a way to get past the first round. I think Kemba can help them get past the first round more than he can help the Celtics win a championship.
Yeah, that's as simple as it can be. Al Horford has a better chance of helping Boston mature quickly, and Kemba has a better chance at helping Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, and Obi compete, plus whoever they add this off year. This is going to be exciting to see what happens. Like I said, $80 million under the tax means that they have so much money to do move around with, that they could really make this Knicks team really cool with Kemba Walker, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, and whoever else they're able to sign in the off year. This would be fun to see what happens with their. Obviously, Coach Tibbs does a really great job. One of the best coaches in the league, and he just got named Coach of the Year. It's a good job with Coach Tibbs there. But obviously, having somebody of Kemba's stature would be amazing. To me, this would be one of those deals that we would have to receive a very good young talent and a draft pick, if not two draft picks. Obviously, Al Horford and facilitating this and the money moving around and all that other stuff, we could really cash this in like tenfold what we would have been able to do if we just did a one-on-one trade with Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great suggestion. And, you know, when you brought it up, I thought, you know, it's one of those ones like that actually makes sense. When you talk about a three-team deal, a lot of times it's like, well, I know what this team gets and what this team gets, but this third team is thrown in there just to make the other teams happy. But this one, it seems like it makes sense for all three teams. So, I'm sure Leon Rose is listening, and he's going to be thinking of ways to get Kemba Walker to New York immediately. So, good job, and keep it up. We're going to stay on top of that, and anything else that's going on around the league as far as transactions. Man, we've been watching the playoffs every night. We don't really talk too much about it because this is a podcast about the Thunder, but right now the Clippers, they're looking like they got to figure something out. Obviously, they beat the Mavs. The Mavs, I think the Mavs were kind of like frauds, so the Clippers got the win, but in the end, they kind of didn't really beat a very good team. I get it. Luka is a very good player, but they had to get 45 and a triple-double just to be in the game, and he needs some more support. So I have questions about them. I have questions about the Clippers. The Suns are up 2-0, and the Jazz won at the buzzer by a block shot by Gobert on the Clippers. So the league is looking great right now, man. I'm looking forward to a new NBA champion. This is going to be a great situation.
Yeah, man. Even crazier is that the Bucks have won a championship. There's only three teams that have won a championship. No team has won it since the 80s. That's insane. All the rest of them, like the Clippers, like the Suns, these teams right here have never won a championship. So the reality is there is a great chance that we're going to crown an NBA champion that hasn't ever been a champion before. We got to see this a couple years ago with the Raptors. That was a lot of fun. I'm pretty stoked about the possibility of crowning the Suns. Like right now, obviously, we love Chris Paul. We love to watch him in Oklahoma City, and we love to watch him with the Hornets. So if the fact is, if he has a chance to win a championship, you better bet your ass we're going to be cheering them on there.
Yeah, man. I'll never stop cheering for Chris Paul. He's done a lot for Oklahoma City, and it was really special to get to watch him play so many different times and over the years and watch him come full circle and come back. Obviously, he's got a lot left in the tank, and we talked about it in previous episodes. There's a chance he's going to be looking to get another contract in the neighborhood of $100 million. So I've heard the rumors he's going to opt out of the final year of his contract. So I'm looking forward to him continuing to be an advocate for the vegan lifestyle, because obviously that is the source of his supernatural strength.
Yeah, man, it's really cool to see how these NBA players are being able to play later in their lives. Obviously, I say later in their lives. I'm pretty much the same age as some of these guys, and it's really strange for me to be looking at it like that. I really admire these guys, and I admire the fact that they can play, because I don't even think I could run up and down a basketball court for 20 minutes, much less 48 minutes. To me, this is insane. and I'm really honored to be able to watch the NBA as it's transitioning into what we could call an older man's game. Shoot the ball, get out. This is very much like what you would see in a church league. Not a lot of defending players out there, but this is cool. I like this. This is going to be fun to be able to watch as the NBA transitions either A, to allow these older guys to play into their 40s, or B, the NBA is just going to turn into a scoring frenzy. And if that's the case, this is going to be crazy to watch.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's a hell of a situation. The league's in a great spot, so I'm really looking forward to it. Well, tomorrow we're going to be back with another episode. We're going to be talking about Davion Mitchell. I'm pumped up about him. He's got some game, and I'm ready to break it down.
Hell yeah, man. It will be exciting to talk about this dude. Definitely stay tuned for that tomorrow. And just as a reminder that this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.